Well, we're still in our subject, devils, demons, and evil spirits. And this week, we're going to talk about the armor of God. And in going into this, I want you to get something here, because over the years, I've listened to a lot of teaching of people on this subject. And one thing that I found this out is many times, it's not taught generally according to what the Scripture is talking about. It really, most of the people put this emphasis of doing these things has to do with us, lots of times ministering to other people and different things, and that's not what it's about. This was written about you as an individual to be able to overcome. That's what Paul wrote. So you need to understand this. This is what we're talking about. This is why you've noticed most of the teaching I've done, it's about who, it's on our side who we are. Because if you don't understand these things, what good it does to minister to other people when we can't keep the devil off of us? Wouldn't do a whole lot of good. And we've done that. The church many times has focused all over on the ministry side instead of prepared for ministry. People ain't prepared. They have a heart to reach people. God's trying to reach them. And the devil's doing things. There's one thing. You're a Christian in this earth, and you need to understand this. You have an enemy, it's the devil. He is your enemy. He is after you. He's after you more than he's after anybody in the... He's not after people in the world. He already holds them. He runs dominant over them. He is after believers. Number one, he hates Jesus, and he hates anything that belongs to Jesus. And so, you're a target. See, sometimes people come along, it seems like Christians have more trouble than going on sometimes than the world does. Yeah, it does. David talked about that. David said, yeah, it seemed like the heathen guy's doing better than I am. You know? He talked about those things. Well, this is why the life of faith. You can't live any other way than the life of faith in this Christian. You got to live. You got to live over here like you're winning when it don't look like you're winning. This is the life of faith. This is what it is. And this is one of the things that's been hard, I think, for the church standpoint. They think, when I came in the kingdom, there were sort of two areas of different areas of faith were taught. I listened to Brother Hagin's teaching on faith, which was one of the most balanced that I ever did, because I expected things would happen, and that's why you walk by faith. Then you had these other groups were teaching, if you walk by faith, you're not going to have anything bad happening. Well, I'm going to tell you what, people tried to do that, and they went along, and after all this faith message stuff, this ain't no good, it don't work. Why? Because really, they weren't taught the truth about faith. We walk by faith because there's a lot around you that you see, it ain't good. There's a lot around you that's coming against you. And you have an enemy, but that enemy's defeated. And you've got to live and walk in that mindset to pick that up. Because you can't keep your joy if you don't. You can't maintain and look at there, you know. Because see, we faith is this. Faith is always believing for something it doesn't see yet. If you can see it, what do you need faith for? You don't know. We're believing for what isn't going on around us, but we want to get it going around us. And faith will bring it to us. That's what it does. And it's work. And it is. There's a work to it. You know, it isn't sitting down and laying back and say, boy, we're just going to have it good all the time. We're going to be eating pomegranates and, you know, grapes, and we're just going to be eating. We're just going to lay back and relax. No, it's not like that. And so it's maintaining ourselves, and we want to do this. We're going back over to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and we're going to look at this today, because we're going to be looking at things about the armor of God, and I want you to understand this. When we look at this armor, we need to understand this. People get too focused on pieces of armor. They get too focused on that, you know. Paul did an illustration here, and what we want to focus on is what he's talking about. Well, what is the breastplate of righteousness? What are these things? What are they? That's what we want to know. Not you know, what kind of armor? I've listened to people talk. They spend more time talking about the armor and what Romans wore and this and that, and it don't matter at all. You can take this armor and you can just remove all that from the wording in here, and I can teach you what God wants you to know. And so, don't get trapped over into that. It was in illustrations that were given at the time. And so, what we're going to do is we're going to look at these. We're going to start again at verse 10. Of Ephesians 6, where it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. It says, what do we do? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles there are methods or trickery means. So what is it? You put the armor. This is about you being able to stand. What did he say? So you can. It isn't for somebody else. It's for you. You can't. This is your armor. You know, you go into, when I went into battle, when I was in Namath, the other guy didn't carry his gun and put it on his flak jacket and stuff. You know, he didn't get mine. I kept mine. You know, good luck, dude. You know, and this is what we're doing. You know, you put on this. This is about you overcoming. It's about the victory in your life. God wants you specifically to overcome. You're not good to him out here in ministry if you can't overcome. You know? The guy that's wounded is in the hospital. He ain't out on the field fighting. And so, get it. This is about you overcoming out here, and you can. You can overcome, and you want to get this thing. No matter what comes against you, and sometimes there's things, I'll just be honest, here lately, it just seems like things happening left and right. Every time I turn around, something going wrong. But you got to maintain your joy. You can't let this stuff, it's like, it is, well, I don't know. I just always comes to mind, this is what I heard Brother Hagin say when I was just a young Christian. And he said, when things go along and happening, he said, you just need to look at it. This is another wonderful opportunity to prove that faith in God works. I got an opportunity, and I'm having a lot of opportunities now. There's a lot of opportunities. Well, praise God. And you know, I'm not sad about it. Hallelujah. Why? Because faith works. Because it works. So you got to maintain your joy, you know. Some days you want to cry, but you're not going to maintain your joy. Say, hey, I'm sorry. This thing's working. You want to get the tears out of your eyes? You believe it's working. That'll help you a whole lot. You might, you know, your flesh saying, I want to cry. The inner man saying, we got this, we got this, we got it. We got it. We're okay. We're all right. And so, you know, listen to the real you. Thank God my flesh ain't the real me. Hallelujah. It ain't the real me. I'll tell you, it has a hard time sometimes dealing with me. But you know, the inner man, hallelujah, he's trusting God. Amen. Glory to God. I'm much bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. I'm a giant on the inside. Amen. See, how do you see yourself? See, somebody think, well, you're bragging. I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to ever get big on the inside till you believe you're big on the inside. You ain't going to ever get there. You're just going to be, you're going to be a midget spiritually. That's what you'll be. No, I'm going to tell you what, big on the inside. I'm greater. I can make things happen on the inside. I can't make happen on the outside at all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See yourself. Well, this armor's gone. So he tells us in verse 12 that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling. But what? We are wrestling against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In other words, there's demonic powers that we are dealing with. We need to deal. See, one of the things that will help you and you being able to stand is get your eyes off of other people and what's going on and what they're doing. Understanding the enemy in the background is doing things. People doing bad things are doing it because of the motivation that they're under. See, we look like, well, they're just a bad person. No, when I was a sinner, I mean, you know, Christians say stupid things to me like, well, if you get your life changed, God accepts you. Well, if I could change my life, who needs God? Christians say the dumbest things in the world, and then they walk around, they live around people and work around people who are heathens and think they ought to act like saints. Duh. You wouldn't want to work around me when I was a sinner. Because I'll tell you, I'd wear Christians out, and I would, because of their stupidity. They didn't know nothing. They couldn't take nothing. You know, always thinking the sinner. Never bothered. I don't care what sinner. The sinner, they act like sinners. I know. I was one of them. That's what I acted like, a sinner. If you want sinners to act like saints, I don't know what. You need to move to another planet. It ain't here. It ain't at this place. It's not going on here. Sinners act like sinners, you know? It's just sad when the saints do. But see, get this in your mind. We're not wrestling. What's their motivation behind that? Do you understand what's causing the problem? Or are you just fighting flesh and blood all the time? Really, doing with people. Learning to take authority over spirits. Many times, this is what the devil will use people to irritate you. And whatever he can find out will irritate you, he'll do it all the time. He'll do it all the time. You can get mad at people like you want. You know, we need to know the spirits that are behind it and bind those spirits and stop spirits from their operations and doing things. But we don't. We're fighting people. People. The devil's behind this stuff. He gets people motivated. He motivates Christians. Christians yield to stuff and they get over into things and doing stuff. Irritating everybody. Doing all kind of stuff. You got to realize you're dealing with demonic powers. People yield to things. Now, I'm going to tell you what. If you'll listen to the teaching today and you'll listen to these things we start. I don't know if we'll get through the whole thing with the armor today. We're going to start into it. About what you need to know that you can get through anything. You don't turn around. You're not the guy that's turning around and worry about everybody else is doing and all this kind of stuff. You can walk in victory where the devil just can't run over you. You won't lose your joy. You'll be able to stand. And this is what you want to do. You want to be able to stand. Because this is what Paul's going to talk about. Us as individuals. See, I can't make you stand. You can't make me stand. This is something we have to do. There's individual things that we must do. Now, you can, if you learn to stand, you can help other people. But, you know, they're going to have to learn to stand too. And so, we need to know this is written to Christians. The sinners, this ain't going to work for a sinner because they got to get saved first before they can get into this. So, don't expect this of any sinners. You know, I was telling saints, you know, well, telling a sinner, you know, you'll do this, you'll do that. And I think, dear God, they ain't even saved. They don't got a revelation on none of that. You need to wake up, space cadet. The best thing you and I can do is we walk in the light of this. If we walk in the light of this, you'll be a greater blessing. He goes on to this. Now listen what he says in this verse, and I want you to get it. He said, therefore, so Paul's saying, in other words, what he talked about in the beginning, this wrestling match we're in, this fight we're in. Now it must be a good rest. He said we wrestle. In other words, we need some wrestling that he talked about wearing a soldier's outfit. So this isn't high school wrestling. I want to tell you what, you need to understand this. You're wrestling against a pro. Too many Christians are nothing but amateurs. Many of them ain't even amateurs. They even in baseball, they wouldn't make it to the Pee Wee League. They wouldn't be able to do it. They wouldn't be able to get that one where they set the ball on the little thing and hit it. They can't even go there. See, we need to understand this. We're dealing with, you got to have armor on. In other words, Paul talked about being a soldier. This is about understanding. You're in a battle. You're in a war. And you need to understand this. If you know what you're supposed to know, it doesn't, you know. I can truthfully say this, you know. They run it through training and military and stuff. And when I went to Vietnam, you know, the whole thing of it is all the stuff they trained us for is what happened. And so you were trained for it. It wasn't some big surprise. You know, I watch people today, you know, this whining. I'm going to tell you, Americans, American parents and stuff need to knock it off. You know, well, these guys have been on ship. They've been away for 200 and some days. I'm sorry, I was away a lot longer than that. And there's men and women over the years in other wars were away a lot longer than that. But we got nothing but whiners and wimps in America. That's all we got. Tired of the junk. The whining. Man, I was 17 years old when I went into service today. My God. I mean, you'd think a guy today is 25, he's 13. Oh, my words. He has to go, he's 200 some of his days away from mom and dad. You know, dear God. Wake up. I like the day when men were men. These days, men are women. They're whining and running around. And my words, a lot of the women are tougher than they are. He's out there, he's away that long. Man, I was away long. I came back home and I don't know. I sort of thought maybe, you know, some of my service in Vietnam was better than coming back home with all the idiots. It was clear over there who your enemy was. Here it's not quite so sure. But you know, they trained us and we need to know this. We have untrained people. This is why we're dealing with all this stuff. Christians can't resist anything. This is why we have so much doctrine day, doctrines of devils taught in the churches. We have all this because of untrained from the ministry on down. It's all, if the guys on the top don't know the truth, guys on the bottom are going to be in a mess. It's just like in the military. If people training you, don't know how to train you for war. See, I was very fortunate. When I went in, we had guys training us who were in war. We had guys from the Second World War and guys from the Korean War were training us in war. And you know what? They didn't train us like we were going to go over, it was going to be real nice. And when you acted, then you just go see mommy anytime you want to. And you just, you know. They taught us about war. They ran us through stuff and taught you how to do that. They taught you how to go through hard things. You need to know in this life, you've got to learn how to go through hard things. Everybody, because what happens? Most people fall apart under hard things. Most Christians fall apart under hard things. They have a hard time handling it. And what you want to do is you want to be an overcomer. You want to be a person that says, yeah, hard things coming. I don't like it. I don't. But you know, it's sort of like this. What makes you mad in life? See, people get mad at the wrong things. See, we need to know, I'm going to tell you what. I get mad, like with me. I don't like to be sick and I don't like to have pain. I get mad at it. Most people walk around wimping about it. Why don't you get mad about it? Get in the inside. I'm tired of this stuff. No, you know, well, we're going through this and we're going through. Hey, you have a choice of how you deal with stuff. You got to learn how to deal with things. You know, the devil come. When I got saved and found out I didn't have to put up with his junk, I get mad at the devil. I don't like it. I get mad about it. I got this tenacity in me about this thing. I found out it works to make you overcome. Too many people don't have no tenacity. You know? They'll spend 6 weeks of whining until they've been trying to get in faith or something. So, no, get mad right away. See, this is it. I'm tired of this junk going on. This ain't going to keep on happening to me. You got to get there. Get yourself tired of it. It is so easy today. You know, we're expecting, you know, the government ought to do something about this. You know, they ought to give me, you know, some kind of better health care. They want to do something about this. That. No, I'm going to tell you, I can't sit around and wait for somebody else to do something. Got to get up and do something. Well, Paul's going to telling us this is about what you do, not what you try to get somebody else to do. This is our place as a soldier. Because he's talking about putting on armor. This is not going to summer camp. This is about being a soldier. This is not going through basic training. It's a soldier in a fight. See, I was trained to be a soldier, but I didn't get in a fight until we got to Vietnam. See, that's when you find out if you can fight. You know, I've often said this. You don't know that you're a soldier until you have to be a soldier and go into battle. You'll find out what you're made of then. I don't care what kind of training you went through. Till you have to go use it, it's another story. You can send people. Hey, we send people to school, send them to college. They go 10 years, all kind of stuff and learning and get out. And you wonder, what on earth were they doing there? But yet, now why? Till you put it to work and you see that you can do it. You know, you see, people go through all kinds of things. You know, apprenticeship. Some apprenticeships they have for certain types of trades and stuff. People go through years to learn how to do them good. Because I've watched people. You know, I'd go out. I'd work with my one brother was a contractor, and on the side I'd work and help him out on jobs. And they would do. You watch him laying brick and doing stuff. And boy, those guys are so slick and just flip them in there till they ask me to do it. See, man, I could mess up a row of bricks. My God. But those guys do it, but they've been doing it for years and years in training. The guys that did it and are excellent at it. Takes time. You find out, say, Ed, were you a bricklayer? The guy showed me how to do it, but I definitely wasn't a bricklayer. I hadn't got there yet. In fact, I never trained long enough to ever get there. So I ain't a bricklayer. I don't care if I know how to do it. I can't do it. I don't care if you went to school. Don't make you good at it if you went to school. Can you do it? Well, it's the same. Here's one thing we're finding out. We're going to go in. It's about this armor. It's called armor here, but what we're putting on. Some of this stuff you already know, but you understand? This is what you wear all the time. This is what you are as a Christian. This is not something when things go bad, then all of a sudden, let's do this. I'm sorry, you're already out of the game. The devil's got 10 innings on you. This is what it is. And it's a very easy thing. It's maintaining yourself in a way of life and a way of thinking. This is what it is. See, it's one thing. So when I got out of the service, when I got saved, the Lord said, I'm going to use your military training to teach you to walk by faith. In other words, you're just going to stay a soldier all the time. See, I'm a soldier all the time. That's what I am. I'm a soldier. I'm a fighter. That's what I am. I'm a fighter. See, I don't want to be stolen from. I don't want to be, you know. You ain't going to come up and take my stuff and walk out the door and me saying, boy, I wish you wouldn't have done that. No, they'll find you out in the outside laying out there. A baseball bat smacked you on the back of the head. And you just, you know. You know. Well, we have people today. They won't, the things of God, people don't stand up for it. You got to stand up for it. This is what God gave me. The devil ain't stealing from me. Amen. Devil ain't going to ruin my life. Hallelujah. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. Get yourself over in that thinking. Hallelujah. Now we're going to look at this as, he says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. What did he said? Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. In other words, if you don't take up the whole armor, you can't stand. You can't stand with part of it. He said, take up the whole armor. You know, I never heard anybody ever teach that. They never emphasized that. This is what Paul, see, this is why we need to stop and take time to read words, because many times we're not taught many words in the Bible. He said, you put the whole thing on. Make sure you got, because he said, so you can stand. And then when you've done everything, you can stand. You're going to be able to stand? Well, you're going to have to do this. There's times you're just going to have to stand. You have to stand for a while. You have to hold. You know, I always think about wars and stuff and that kind of things. They would do, you know, commanders would turn around and say, you know, you're in an area and it's tough and there's a lot of bad things going on. And they say, you got to hold this place. You ain't allowed to, nobody's going back. It's tough here. It's hard. People are dying, but you're going to stay because we ain't going to give up this ground. See, how are you about things? See, it's so easy in America to give up ground. Because somebody, the government or somebody, or you can call a church and they'll come and jump in and take it. Somebody's going to do something because you don't have to learn to stand. That's why we have so few trying to take care of so many. And this is why so many people, they don't bother trying to take care of themselves anymore. They can just go around. I mean, in the church world, just people don't bother. We don't bother because somebody else will do it. Well, they're going to have a hard time with God. So it tells us, we're supposed to put this armor on. He said, take up the whole armor. So we want to take up all that's said here. Now, this thing's a real blessing. I want you to get this. This is, it's hard if you don't. Like you can say, wow, he's being tough on us. No, it's going to be tough on you if you don't do this. Because the devil's going to come and eat your lunch somewhere. He's going to get in. So this is what, you want to bring things to a halt. Understand these things. And we're talking about, these are things to understand your position with God, not your position with the devil. Most people fail in trouble because they're looking at the adversary and the problem. They don't know who they serve. They don't know what they are. Their focus is on everything else. You want to succeed as a soldier, naturally, you got to know who you are and what you can do. See, well, the enemy, they got all... How do these people talk about, well, they got all these weapons, they got this, and they got... Oh, you ain't going to win wars looking at their weapons. You learn how to use yours real good. Looking at the other guy, well, they have this. They have more men than us. Okay, well, we'll just kill more of them, and we'll get the numbers down good. Well, we're even. You got to get yourself thinking in the right way, or you just go home to mama. That's what it is. See, you get yourself. It's with the devil. You can't look at his. He's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is as one. He isn't one. He's been defeated. Jesus pulled his teeth. He'll come and gum you and slobber you to death. That's what he wants to do. You've got to understand who he is. He's a mouth. And that mouth, people yield to constantly. He comes along, wanting to make you feel defeated. Well, you know, this mountain for you is too big. You can't talk to mountains. Jesus never meant it. He could talk to mountains. I've heard ministers say it. He wasn't talking about literal mountains. Well, what was he lying about then? He's standing on a mountain of olives. He said, you can say to this mountain. Did he really mean it? He didn't say, no, this isn't really what we're talking about here. No, we have turned the Bible into something that is palatable to our unbelief. That's what it's become. Because there's a lot of wild statements in this thing. There's a lot of crazy things that are said in the Bible. You know, all things are possible to him to believe. It's a wonderful statement, but few believe it. As people run into trouble, and well, I don't know if you can believe that. Hallelujah. So it sort of measures us. Now, he comes along, tells us we got to get this armor on. We're supposed to put this thing on. Why? So we can stand. And he says, when you've done all, in other words, when you've done all concerning what the word says here that we're going to deal with, then you stand. And I said about this last week. One of the things that the devil is going to try to do to you is to always keep you feeling you haven't done enough. I only need to do what the word says, and that's it. It'll work. One thing, this is what he's going to do to you, and I watch people do this all the time. They stand for healing, and you know things don't change immediately, and the next thing, I'm looking at diet, and I'm looking at all this. I'm looking at everything else around. I'm measuring everything else all around. And then now they're out trying to do this. And maybe if I take this, it'll work. Maybe if I go over here and do that. Maybe if I do this, and I'll do, they go through all. That's what they're doing. That's Satan at work. He will get you to a place you ain't standing. You're still looking to a place you figure you can stand. Now the word will work. If God didn't tell me to do something else, we ain't doing nothing else. I've done all to stand. The biggest thing, I'm going to tell you, the biggest thing that you can do once you believe the word is act like it's working. Yep. Not looking for something else to get it working. Act like it's working. The word's working in me. Hallelujah. It might not look it at all. I don't care. My faith says it's working. See, the Lord told me some few years ago, he said, you do extreme things in acting on the word. He said, that's why you've seen so many things miraculously change. Because he said, you do extreme things. I'll do extreme things to act like the word's true. Because it is. I believe it's going to work. You know? We got to do it right. You got to get yourself in this thinking. See, in the middle of the battle, I get mad in the middle of the battle. I don't. You know, I get mad. You know, you shoot at me, I'm starving. You're in trouble. If I get a shot at you, you're down. It's what it is.
That's right.
No, well, I tell you, they're just shooting at me out there. Well, give me more ammo. We'll take care of this. How's he going to find a guy and shoot back? See, you have a choice. Are you going to play a winner? You ever watch people winners? You go to our sports and watch people winners? They ain't nothing like most people. The people that are on top ain't like most people. What they see themselves as, when they step into the game, what they see themselves as, and they see everybody else as. See, you got to come. That's it. You know, Jesus wasn't some loser. He didn't turn around and go to the cross and do all that because he thought the devil was a big deal. You think he didn't know he was going to defeat him? See, he went and did that. He shut his mouth, but he did it. He didn't turn around and wimp and whine, did he? No, we're going to do this. See, he's a victor. He'll go into battle. He knows. He knew what he was. You need to understand, you got to know who you are. You got to know what you are. In a fight, you ain't going to go for it. We're not trying to win. I'm not trying to win a thing over the devil. He's already defeated. I have already won. My job is to believe I won. Hallelujah. Say, we're going in the ring. Doesn't matter if we go 3 rounds and I knock him out. It don't matter if I go to 12 rounds. He's getting knocked out. I can take punches. I'm not a wimp. I can take punches. You have to think like that. You got to get yourself. I'm going to this battle. I'm going to win it. See, I'm going. Jesus got me the trophy, but I want to put that trophy on my mantle. I don't want it on his all the time. You know, he got one. I want one on my mantle. And he wants me to put one on my mantle. These are the things I want. See, the poor children of Israel come out of Egypt, and they didn't put trophies on their mantles. All the victories they won. And when they got to the land, they didn't know nothing. They didn't have a shout in their mouth of anything they won. Man, I can sit down and I can talk to God and tell God all the different things that I've stood by faith that He brought to pass. I can tell Him a time, this is, hey, I believed here and you did this. You believe. So I know when I come into a battle, hallelujah, I believe Him, He'll do that. If it goes into my mind, I don't know what I'm going to do about this and I don't know what. Man, I'm going to tell you what. You ain't money. Where's your mantle that's got trophies on it? Or maybe you don't have none. You ought to have a mantle that's got trophies on him. Hallelujah. Because it reminds me of how good he is. It reminds me of the things that I stood through. This is what I've done. See, this one thing is the benefit of preaching is because I get to tell the stories about how what God did for me. Keeps me afresh in a memory. See, you need to tell people what God will do. If you ain't got a good testimony, then you better start believing and get one. Hey, you ain't going to win people on a wimpy God. Didn't do nothing. Oh, he loves you. And he doesn't feel well. Good. People hear about people love them all the time and divorce them and leave them. Everybody wants a champion. Why can't they have you as one? Let's be a champion. I'm a champ. I want to be a champion for Jesus Christ. That's what I want to be. I want to be one of his champions. That's what he's made us into. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, we're getting credit for the victories he wins. All I got to do is believe he'll do it for me. Man, I like this fight. It's a good one. Hallelujah. Well, we'll go on here. Now, first of all, verse 14, he starts it right out. Stand therefore. Now, he's talking about what's something you got to stand in. There's something you must stand in. Okay, he's going to tell us, what do we stand therefore? Or because of what I said to do, here it is, stand therefore. Girding your waist with truth. Now, we just want to stop. Girding your strength with truth. Well, what's the truth? Jesus prayed and prayed for the disciples before he was taken at their meal and that stuff they were getting. He prayed for the disciples in John 17:17, and he said, sanctify them by your truth. He's speaking to the Father. Your word is truth. The truth. See, the word is the truth. You need to put, in other words, number one in this thing, you need to get the truth. You need to have the word. You can't stand against the devil if you don't know what the word says. It's an impossible. To go on from here and you don't know what the word says, forget it. This is one of the great problems. Christianity don't know. You know, if you take majority of Christianity, I don't care what groups you can go on. Now, spirit people say they believe in healing, they believe in these things, but most of them don't. Most of the church world doesn't even believe that. You know, there's a portion that believes in salvation. There's a large amount. I don't know if they even believe in salvation anymore. I don't even know what they believe. They don't know the word. They believe the word. You know, tongues aren't for today. Yet they're in the New Testament and the letters written to the church. It's not for today. Oh, that was for the first church. I'm sorry. I'm still in the first church. There was only one. I never looked and said, this is church number two. You know, we got the First Baptist, and I don't know if there's... I always think it cracks me up driving to see those names. First Baptist, First Episcopal, First this. What was the first of them? Their first one? Is there a second one? I don't know. They only have second ones because they changed their doctrines. You know, hey, there's many ones today, many of them. I mean, brethren churches, they used to believe in healing and all that kind of stuff, and they don't know more. You know, they don't walk in the light of that stuff. You look at their old doctrinal stuff. They believe in all these things, and people don't today. So, you know, you can't find a First Brethren church because there's a second, third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth. And there is, in the spirit field, it's the same thing. They got first, second, thirds, and fourths down the line. Everybody, you change your doctrine as you go along, you know, become something. But things we need to know is to know the word. The word is the truth. It is... You need to be settled at this. The word does not have to make sense to you. If you're waiting for the word to make sense to you, you probably never walk in faith. Because what people do this, you know, people today, you know, they talk about, you know, people don't have common sense. Most of the church ain't got no common sense. My common sense based on the Bible, not on what man calls common sense.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Our nation is a mess today because of what's called common sense. See, man's common sense changes over time. Bible never changes. See, you become this. This is one thing. See, this is what takes us walk by faith. Because there's things change, but the word doesn't. So you're going to be walking in an area where most everybody's doing something else about the thing that you're doing. So that's, you're walking by faith. Why? Because everything, you can't look to the natural and see it. You're out here, as many times you can almost be on your own. You can be in your own family and be on your own. And see, you need to understand this. This is about getting into the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We need to understand this. Understand this about freedom. Freedom is not so you can do what you want. See, in the Bible, we have what we call freedom in our country, and freedom is this, is I can do what I want, say what I want. That's not what he's talking about. The Bible is never talking about that. Freedom is to be free from sin, and the freedom... Now, see, I was never free as a sinner to serve God. I couldn't serve God. Today, I am free to do the will of God. I can do the will of God if I want to. Boy, they ought to preach that in the church more often. You don't hear that kind of freedom ever preached. But that's what freedom's about. Freedom is, I'm now free. I don't have to live in sin anymore. I don't have to follow the devil anymore. I didn't have a choice before. I was bound. I'm free. I'm free now to do the will of God. I was never free to do the will of God. Understand it. Get that freedom in you. If you understand that, I can. See, you ought to be making confessions. I can do the will of God. I can follow God. You're free to do it. See, people aren't confessing. People are waiting till they do real good. Then I'll say I'm going to do good. And the next day they flop and then they change. No, I say, praise God, I can do the will of God. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to walk in His will. I'm going to fulfill His plans and purposes. That's what I'm going to do. That's where I'm going. What do you say? Well, I'm trying to do the will of God. I'm trying. Well, don't worry. You won't. Faith. Faith sets a direction for you. Faith is about your future. You're going to end up where you're saying. Most people ain't going no further than they are right now. Most Christians, spiritually, they ain't going no further than that. That's where they talk where they're at. No, I'm going down. My future is out there. And I'm setting my future by what I'm saying now. I'm speaking my future. Start speaking your future. Don't wait till something comes and start speaking what you wanted. Get it out ahead of time. See, that's what the Lord told me about finances back in 2014 when He talked to me about giving. He said He appreciated what I was doing and giving, and Wanda and I, He talked to me about Wanda and I and our giving, how generous we were in our giving, and He said He really appreciated it. But He said, "You're not doing my best." I thought, He said, when you need something, you believe and you bring it in. He said, don't want you to go there. I want you to be here. I want you to be believing out ahead so when you get there, the money's already there. He said, I want you to start calling money in. And how much? He said, not based on your need. He said, I want you to speak of what you want. See, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He didn't say, desire, want. What do you want? He said, well, I only want what God wants. The Bible don't ever say that. That's a good religious statement to keep you on the bottom of the pile. That's a good religious statement. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Other translations say this is correctly. You'll not lack any good thing. What good thing do you want? You see, we call out ahead. What we do is we run into a place, now I need this, and you start there believing. Well, I found out this thing works. I started doing that. It changed Wanda and I's finances. When we come up and we needed money for something, now we have it. See, you need to understand how I didn't have to stop, and now we're going to start believing right here and right now. We started calling in money out ahead. See, you need to do that. You need to call things out ahead. This way, that's why you need to know the Word. See, the Word does this thing for you. If you don't get the Word in you, see, it makes you free. It holds you away from the bondages that the world is in. See, people are very rich in this life and doing things. They have done things to set a future. Well, I found out, you know, there's one thing is you do this. All the studies that I've ever read that they've done on people that are wealthy, they take people who were wealthy, lost money. Almost every one of them gets money back and ends up rich again. And I'm going to tell you you want to know what the big secret is? Anybody want to know? You want to know what the secret is? Their mouth. They never talk like they're poor. They always talk. They always act like they always act like they're going to get somewhere. You see, our mouth, not knowing the Word. In other words, they're speaking the things that they believe. They're saying that you need to under this earth. Your voices is really the key to this whole thing. That's why you want to get the Word of God in you. So when you're speaking about you, He's talking about putting this armor on. You got to be girded in this thing. Is the Word of God. That when you talk, you're saying what God said. What has God said about you? What has He spoken about you? How's his view of you? You lowlife thing, you. I mean, go and sit down and look at the letters written to the church. Look at Paul, his opening letters to the church, the carnal church of Corinth. And what does he talk? Go read what he calls them. See, God's view and God's opinion. What do you call you? Well, I can't do it. I tell you, I mess up all the time. And I just, you know, I don't ever get this right. What do you say? See, how do you like to be in an army at war with people like that? There's a lot of them out there today, and they're in militaries. And they're in homes, and they're raising kids, and they put kids out there in. See, there's got to be a different mindset. Get the word in you. What does God say about you? What's God speaking? Because we're going to talk about some things in here. What God says or God's speaking about. Hallelujah. So, God has an opinion about these things, and God is speaking concerning this on the truth. So, if the Son makes you free, you, in John 8:36 says, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Are you indeed free? See, we shouldn't talk bondage. We shouldn't talk about sickness like it's holding us. It isn't something, you know, we get attacked. You should never talk about it. You should always talk about it away. Hallelujah. You know, God set me free of this. I'm free of this. Hallelujah. See, how do we, our whole approach, should I tell you what? Doctors would love to hear people talk like this. Because they know this. They know that people that don't use their voice right, their own immune system doesn't work well for them. Your immune system is tied to your mouth. How you talk about sickness and disease, how you talk about things, your own immune systems. They get over the studies that they've done on people worrying, it kills them. People, cancer and stuff, they have measured it to people's talking, their anxieties and all this kind of stuff. Their body don't work right. You see, so first of all, he says to us, you gird yourself. You're in a war, because why? The devil wants your tongue. And if he gets your tongue, the rest of it don't matter. We can talk about the rest of it all we want. He can't let him get our tongues, get ourselves over. He can't, you do it. Why? He'll get in. If he can get our tongues, I'll tell you, he'll have our weapon against us. That's what he'll do. People say, well, the devil did this. No, no. You joined forces and shot yourself. Don't allow that to happen to you. Don't let that happen. Use your voice. Always speak to your benefit. Don't get over there. You can turn. See, you got something going on wrong in your body. This body's enough trouble as is without joining in the trouble with it. We're moving it in a direction. You know, I just want the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Well, quicken, make alive our mortal bodies. It don't just happen just because he's in there. Believe me, I know. You're going to have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in you. And you know what? He only knows the Word. He takes what belongs to Jesus, who's the Word of God, and shows it to us. So you got to cooperate. Stand against the devil. Get a hold of this. Just get the Word in you. Get yourself over. Now, don't get yourself discouraged, but start setting yourself. You know, it might be good for you to sit down and write out some good confessions, biblical confessions about yourself, and start saying them all the time. And do it from the time you get up, go, you know, work like during the day, say the right things. Speak the right things about yourself. See, I learned over many years, it's taken about my body and health. It's just naturally for me to talk when about my body and my health. I mean, it's just a natural thing. I've done it so much. It's just a natural thing to speak in a certain direction. You train yourself. See, in the military, this is what they did to train soldiers. They would take us and make us do the same thing over and over. And then when you got sick of doing it, they made you do it 100 more times. To what happens? When I got to Nam, you know what you did? Things would happen, you would naturally, you wouldn't even think twice about doing a certain thing, you'd just do it. It was just a natural thing you were trained to do. See, what we haven't done in the church world, Today, we are not training people in churches. People just go to church to hear some good things and go home and go back to their life. No, this is about training, about taking this stuff. See, I can't force any of you to do it. I can't force any of you to do the Word. You know, you're an American. You can do what you want. Do you know why the Soviet Union was so successful in pushing people in direction? It made them. Oh, we want to be free. I'll tell you what, we need to take some freedom out of America if we want to save it. We need to take freedom out of the American people if we want to save it. If we want to save people's health, we need to take some freedom out of them. Because they have the freedom to kill themselves. That's what they're doing. See, we get over. See, and I was in the service. They didn't give us a choice if we wanted to do it. But you know what? They weren't being mean to us. They saved Ed's life. When I got to Vietnam, you know, I thought those drill sergeants we had were just mean and ornery to us. I didn't, you know, they didn't let you sleep, woke you up, because you didn't know, doing all kinds. When I got to Nam, I thought, boy, thank God they didn't let me do all what I wanted. Thank God they didn't care I got mad about it. They didn't care that if I didn't like it, they saved my life. Because I wasn't bright enough to know. I'd never been at war. See, we need to get ourselves. Get it in our training. Get the Word in you and get it in where you. Because you're going to have a hard time doing right when you don't talk right. You're going to have a hard time with it. So you get yourself. First of all, this is the life of faith. I'm talking where I want to end up, not where I'm at. The devil will do this to you. You'll say things about yourself the Bible says, and the devil will come and remind you, well, you ain't like that. You ain't do that. And he'll get you right over to feel sorry. Yeah, you know, you're lying. You ain't. I ain't, my faith don't ever lie. If I'm speaking God's word, it ain't ever a lie. If I speak what God said about me, I ain't ever lied. The devil comes and says, hey, you're lying. You're not that. Say, yes, I am. That's what I believe. I didn't say factually I am now. I said, this is what I believe. I believe I'm this. The Bible says it. I believe I'm that. See, if you can't do that, you don't know about faith. You really don't understand what faith's about. Call yourself something that God says you are, and you look at yourself in the mirror and say, well, I don't look like that guy. This is the wonder of it. Hallelujah. You can begin to call yourself what the Bible says you are. If you're going to wait till you get there, I'll tell you what, you'll never get there. You'll never get there. The only way you can get there in the spirit realm in God's word is to say it and believe it and say it. That's what will carry God, will take you there. See, get that in yourself. That's why we get the Word of God in us. We start talking what the Word says. Because the devil is a liar and he's going to come along. He'll get people to come along and say things. He'll work through other people. You've got to be able to understand. Anything speaking to you against the Word of God, it can't be God saying it. Who's saying it? What's motivating it? Understand this. This is how you get people over. This is how the devil traps people all the time. He gets people trapped. Get it about yourself. See who you are. You're a child of God. Quit getting talked out of it. Don't let them talk you out of it. Hallelujah. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. Well, you don't look like you. I don't care. The Bible says I'm blessed. That's it. I'm blessed. We're not going to say a different thing about it. I'm blessed. Well, over the years and walking in this, I've gotten a hold of more of the blessing. It's taking me to where I want to go. And it's God's word. Hallelujah. This is why, you know, look in the Bible at what the Bible says. I don't care what people are preaching. Look in the Bible. See, I look at these scriptures. Hallelujah. I look at the word and say, my God, the word is better than any man has ever said. The word's more glorious. Hallelujah. And the words we read today, we get a certain glimpse of revelation, and tomorrow God will open up and we'll see another glimpse that's even better than what we thought. It'll be like, wow, this is much better than I thought it was. My God, this is the wonder of it. And so we want to do that. And I want you to see yourself. Take the word of God. Begin to say about, start off doing that. Start saying about yourself what the Bible says. Because I'm going to tell you, you're going to have thoughts come to you that are going to talk derogatory. Now, every one of us, haven't you had that? Words come to you, thoughts come, or somebody that's derogatory to what the Bible says you are. See, you have a choice whether you receive that, and you could start talking that. We have that choice. Or we start saying, no, no, the Bible says this about me. Hallelujah. That's what I'm going to believe I am. I'm going to believe that. Hallelujah. I might not look like it now, but my faith ain't based on my look like. It's based on what the God Word says. I believe what the Word says. The Word says I'm this, so therefore that's what I believe. Hallelujah. And I will. God will work in me, so I will become that. Until I speak it by faith, it ain't going to be happening. Hallelujah. God calling those things that be not as though they were. God does it. Why wouldn't I do it? God doesn't call me what I look like. I can read in the book what He calls me. Dear Lord, you know He walks by faith. Gosh, He looks at us and going, He'd go, oh my word, what'd I do? But He don't. He speaks by faith. He wrote it down. Hallelujah. So we can stop and say, you know, Lord God, you can't call me a goofball. You said this about me. Did you lie? Well, no, He didn't lie. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, some of you going through tough times, I just go over and look what the Word says about me, where I'm at. See, that's what that brings joy. That brings strength back to you. You keep focusing on your problem. You keep looking at the things. I'm going to tell you. See, that's why I like when people have a hard time. You know, I don't like making a major thing to go to a doctor because I don't need to hear bad reports all the time. People love it. People love to hear bad reports. Oh, yeah, the doctor said this, the doctor said this. It's an amazing thing to me. People can't quote you the Bible as Christians, but they can turn around and a doctor can tell them one thing one time and they can quote it forever. Which shows one thing of what they believe. It shows what a person believes. But see, you get your focus. Whatever you put your focus on, how put focus. I'm not against doctors. I thank God for what they do. It's like Kenneth Hagin said when I was a young Christian. He said, there'd be a lot of dead Christians if it weren't for doctors. And I said, amen. Yeah, it would be. I'm not against them. Thank God for what they do. Hallelujah. Maybe keep us alive a little bit longer so we can walk with Jesus better and get down the road. So we can get down the road, you know. And so, hallelujah. But keep yourself over. Get yourself. So the thing he starts... getting into the Word. Hallelujah. Now, and he says, what? Now you stay with the Word. Then he says this, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Let me say to this, we're going to talk about that some. Righteousness. I want you to get this thing. Because we need to deal with the subject of righteousness. Christians have a great problem. This is one of the trip-up areas, another trip-up area that the devil does to a believer. Understand? This is how to fight the enemy. You got to know. See, when I was in the military, whatever enemy that the military is dealing with at the time they do, they learn and study the tactics of the enemy, how they do and what they do. So they can teach you what they do, hallelujah, how you can overcome by what they do. So they train you according to the enemy that you're dealing with. You know, we were trained differently than Second World War and even Korean War guys. We were trained differently because of the kind of combat and stuff and things we were in. You're trained because there was no front lines and all that kind of stuff, things going on and things like that. You're dealing with a lot more of terrorist kind of stuff and doing all kinds of things. You're dealing with these. So you have to learn tactics about those things and how they do and what they do. Well, you need to understand this. The devil, his tactics, the Bible can make it clear to us that what he does. By what they're teaching us. They're teaching us here. There's things. This is one thing. If I don't understand righteousness, I know the devil can defeat me in that area. He will defeat me in that area if I don't know. So you need to understand this. This is why he started off and said, know the truth. Know what the Word says. Now, in the Word talks about righteousness. You can't look in the Old Testament and find the things that you know need to know about righteousness, because none of them were righteous from the standpoint. They weren't born again. They weren't. We need to understand where we stand as Christians is a totally different place. And you need to understand this. Because the Bible teaches us what the Bible teaches us. Now I'm going to read from Romans the third chapter. Romans the third chapter. We're going to talk about righteousness. Romans the third chapter. As you go there, because we're going to deal with the subject again of faith. Faith in the Word of God. What the Word of God says about you. The enemy will try to move you off the place of your righteousness. He will try to move you. He will remember everything that you ever did. Even might be right thing, but he'll try to convince you you did wrong. But he'll remind you of those things. to move you away. Because this is one thing. You can't stand in faith if you don't understand righteousness. You can't stand in faith. This is where a lot of Christians fail. Because, you know, they're standing. They've done all to stand. They're standing. Things ain't working. Did I mess up? Is God allowing this to happen to me for a purpose? Is God? They go, see, they're not standing anymore. They're all searching everything. They're all searching. They're not standing. See, I want you to get a hold of this. Have I messed up? Now, I'm going to tell you, every one of us has gone through this thing. And every one of us has fell for some of these. We fell for them. You know, admit it. You know, hide it. We fell for it. But see, this is something you need to understand. Now, Romans 3rd chapter, verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. Now, understand, this is God's righteousness is being revealed. It's not man's righteousness. This is God's righteousness. It's being revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, what? Through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. Therefore, there's no difference. He's talking about God's righteousness, not the righteousness of man, not the righteousness of works. The law was the righteousness of works. He's saying, no, the law and the prophets saw this righteousness come. This is God's righteousness has come on the scene. God's righteousness wasn't in the law. The New Testament is God's righteousness. And through faith in Jesus Christ, it's in us and on us. I'm righteous. I am not righteous for God because I don't ever make a mistake or do something wrong. I'm righteous before God because that's the way God made me. See, where people get messed up. You go over to 1 John and say, well, it says there, you know, if you sin, you know, confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He's not talking about your spiritual man. These are sins of the flesh. If you ain't righteous in your spirit, you ain't saved.
That's right.
Let's just get real about this thing. The real you is righteous. I am righteous before. I don't have my righteousness. I'm as righteous as God is. So are you. You need to get that in yourself. Your inner man is just as righteous as God Himself. We got His righteousness. That's what you have. And see, we walk by faith. Walking by faith is walking out of the inner man, not out of your head. Most of Christianity is too mental. It's all on mentality. No, my inner man. People don't know who they are. I am not this guy. My flesh isn't who I am. My flesh can't get nothing done with God. But my inner man, if I will tie my mouth to my inner man and let him say what he wants, look out. It's the same way with you. You get your inner man and let him talk through your mouth and let him do any thinking. Get a hold of this. Your brain is not your mind. Your brain ain't nothing but an organ that your mind works through. The mind, your mind is what you are on the inside. Now, you can yield your mind to this or you can yield your mind to the flesh, whichever you want to do. See, I want to yield my mind. If my brain's going to have some thoughts, I want him to get a hold of this, the ones down here. I want the ones that come out of this guy that's alive to God. See, your natural mind, that's the place where devil comes and plays on you. He comes on your flesh and tells you what a worthless thing you are. Don't you realize what you did last week? He'll try to convince you you ain't righteous. And if you join him, faith is like a bird, flies out the window and it's gone. See, he'll come and tell you, well, you ain't righteous. I tell him, what you got to say ain't none of your business. I'm righteous before my God. My problems in life are between me and my God, not me and the devil. Somebody once correct me and ain't going to be the devil. People try to let the devil correct them all the time. If you want to remind me of my shortcomings, who's the devil to remind me of my shortcomings? The only reason he does this is because he don't like it that God considers me righteous. And if I've done anything wrong in the flesh, I can get it cleared up in a second. He can't ever get his cleared up. It will never be cleared up for eternity. And so what he wants to do, he wants to keep you over in the place of your mistakes in life and where you missed it. He'll come and remind you the things that you repented of 20 years ago. But he'll come and remind you of it. Why? To keep you over in that area, trying to keep your faith from working. See, you got to get over it. I'm righteous. Hallelujah. No Christian could do this. No Christian could come boldly to the throne of grace if they aren't righteous. If I made a mistake and missed it, I can still go boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because I'm the righteousness of God. If I missed it in the flesh, I go boldly to the throne of grace. What for? To receive mercy and to find grace. You don't need mercy when you did right. If you've done right, what do you need mercy for? You need mercy. He said, first thing on that, you come boldly to God. Why? Because you're righteous. And if you missed it, there's mercy there to clear all that thing up. What, for God's sake? No, for yours. If you missed it, your conscience bothers you before God. And the devil plays on that. That's the way. You know, it's like when I had my heart attack and the devil came immediately after me and I stopped and I said, this isn't between me and you. This is between me and my God. That's who. I ain't talking to you about this. First thing he did, he wanted me to get over on his side of things. See, you got this problem now. Yeah, you're going to die, you know. He wants to get what? He wants to get me on that side. No. Where I'm, my life is about me and my God, not me and what the devil's saying or anybody else saying about it. It's between me and my God. You understand, in a battle, the first things you do is going to determine your success coming out. Too many people wait too long to go through a whole bunch of rigmarole till they wonder why I tried around to get into faith. This is why the armor of God's worn all the time. It ain't something you put on when the battle starts. And then, gee, where'd I leave that out? What was that? What was that scripture that? What did God say about me? Where'd I put my ammo? Where's it at? That's okay. It's something all the time. This is a lifestyle. It's not something ridiculous or hard. It's just a lifestyle. I live it. See, Paul's telling these people, you know, put this righteousness on that you got. This is righteousness that God gave you. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 21, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 21, Paul writing to the church. Here he's writing to the church at Corinth. These carnal guys out here, he had a right to say to them, hey, don't you guys know that your temple's of God and God lives in you? But listen to what he says to them. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he says, for he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God. See, I've been criticized and, you know, had stuff online about me because, you know, you say things like this. I'm as righteous as God is. Well, I am. God made me that way. Why? Religion. People who believe in being born again, all they believe is, I got my sins forgiven. And after that, I'm still dirt. No? You're the right. Just think about it. You. Do any of us really have a full revelation that we're as righteous as God? Do you want to take your faith to another level? See, you can stand before God, I'm righteous. See, you get that devil wants to move you off that. The fact that he put that the first thing on there, I would say this. This is probably the area that most Christians trip up immediately with. They're going to God more as a beggar than righteous. They're not going from the seated at his right hand. They're going there groveling at the throne. Probably from behind. Now we come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and what? To find grace to help in time of need. The throne is a place we're empowered. It's where we're at. When you go to the throne, this is the enthroned place. This is where you're at. You're the righteousness of God. You're as righteous as God is. What a phenomenal thing. You're as righteous as God. Could you get any more? This is one thing as I learned about this. When I was a young Christian, started getting a revelation on this. The Lord told me this. The more you believe this, the more you'll live righteous. You know why modern Christians don't live righteous? They don't have no faith in righteousness. They're trying to be righteous before God. I don't ever try to be right. I am. I'm righteous. What I'm going to do? See, you caught over believing that. It's amazing how you might just start acting. You become what you believe you are. These are wonderful revelations. Now, see, I look, when I came in the kingdom, this is stuff they were teaching. Today, I don't know, they're just throwing fairy dust or something. I don't know what it is. I don't. But people to understand these things. This doesn't, now understand, my righteousness came from God. It didn't come from, so I'm no big deal on this thing. It's something He gave me. It's, righteousness is a gift that He gave me. It was given. I didn't earn it at all. It wasn't, you know, I didn't come up with some great idea or some great thing. It was just what He gave. And when I come in the kingdom not knowing a thing, He gave it to me. So I can't say, boy, Ed, you're something. No, I didn't. It's just every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, and no shadow of turning. I'll tell you, He just threw it down on me. This is yours. Hallelujah. You're born this way. Any man who is not righteous will not see the kingdom of God. He'll never be in it. He'll never get to it. Oh, this is the place of the righteous. The new heaven and the new earth is the place of the righteous. You ain't going to get to heaven if you ain't righteous. If you're going to go to heaven because you do everything right, forget it. That's Lucifer's kingdom. Hallelujah. That ain't you. Glory to God. You're going to heaven because God said you're righteous. That settles it. Who cares what somebody else says or another opinion? People can say what they want. God has made me righteous. And if I miss the mark in my flesh, I can repent and get cleaned up concerning that. I don't want to walk around with a guilty conscience. Because you get a guilty conscience, what happens? You get before God and you want something and you think, well, you know, I did this wrong thing. No. This is why when you ask God to forgive you, remember to do this. You forgive you. Because if you don't, the devil will hound you about it. I think more Christians have more problem forgiving themselves than believing God for forgiveness. They just won't forgive themselves. And the devil uses that to hold them down of their mistakes of the past. Hallelujah. One thing is I'm glad I learned through Kenneth Hagin. When I came in the kingdom, my past life, I'm so glad. So many people walk in the light of their past life. I'm going to tell you what, that man's dead, thank God. Now, if he ain't dead, I'm going to shoot him if I see him. I want to tell you, that life's gone. Don't let him throw that in your face. And anything you repented of and anything along the way, don't let him hold that. Don't let him throw it. No matter how bad you think it is, it don't matter. It's under the blood of Jesus. You're righteous. See, don't take that. The enemy will come in and try to hold you in that area. You're not good enough. You know, somebody else, if this big name minister, oh yeah, they're really something. I tell you, if you knew some of those men, some things that I've seen run in life, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of everyday saints, a whole lot cleaner than some of them. We need to get over here and get your right thinking. You don't measure your righteousness against in somebody else. You know, God operates through people, and it's because God's choice that He uses them. That's who He chose. But it don't make them any more righteous than anybody else, and don't make them a better person. You have to follow and walk in the Word, let that happen. Just like everybody else. They don't have an advantage in those areas. Just get yourself set in that. Philippians, the third chapter. And we'll call this before we go to our communion. But he said, in Philippians, the third chapter, verse 9 says, and he found in him. Which what? We're supposed to be found in him in this manner. This is how you're supposed to be found in Christ. Not having my own righteousness. See, you don't want to be found having your own righteousness. Why? That's not good. Your righteousness will never oppose you before God. You won't do it. So he said, be found in him, not having your own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Hallelujah. You be found like that. That's where you want to be found. You be found in that. Hallelujah. Not the righteousness of the works. You know, there's one thing. If I do good things, the only reason I do good things is because I got born again and was made righteous by God. I didn't do right. You know, the law, people were always trying to do something to prove their goodness. I'm just, you know, I just heard, you know, some people and that stuff talking about, you know, saying they're Christians, but really what they believe is they believe in this thing. You know, one day, you know, God, I'll find out whether I get saved if I've done enough good stuff. And these people go to churches and they say they're Christian. I ain't Christian. I ain't Christian at all. You know, you don't go and find out if you can get in. You leave this earth, God already knows you're getting in or not. You either go up or down. You don't go to go. You don't go no courts and you know find out. Well, did I do enough good? It don't work. You got to get born again. You got to pass from death unto life. See, get this within yourself. See, I'm a child of God. If you believe what the Scripture said, and you believe God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess Jesus is Lord, and you believe that in your heart, and you didn't doubt, you're born again. You're a child of God. And that very day, you became God's righteousness. You became as righteous as God is, and you hadn't done a thing. Now, all you did, the good thing that God wanted you to do, is respond by faith concerning His Son, and you're righteous. From that, right from then that happened, heaven is your destiny. That's it. You know, you're going to go. You haven't done a thing. And what people are trying to do, they're trying to, well, now if I can just do enough to stay saved. Salvation's by faith. It is by faith. See, there's many people out here. You know, they do the things, the reason people do once saved, always saved, well, I don't know where they come from that at, you know. I think it's trying to get people who ain't saved to going to be saved. I don't know what they're doing. But the whole thing of it is, salvation is a thing by faith. It's out of the internet. You must become born again. There are many people out here who are head Christians. They believe what the Bible says in their mind, but they've never passed from death unto life. It's never happened to them. They went through a church creed. I went here, we did this, we went through, I got baptized and I went through their classes and their catechism. There's nothing wrong. Some of them teach some good things in there and it was good Bible teaching. And but the whole thing, doing those things and that stuff don't save you. You need to get born again. There's one thing about it. You know, when I got born again, I became a changed person. I never did think about something else or something. I don't understand. People come along and say, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Well, I said, I can tell you, you're probably not. You said so. If you don't know, how could you be walking in faith? It's an impossibility. See, I know I'm saved. I know I went along in this life and I did some dumb things. But you know what? I never questioned whether I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know sometime I was a dumb saved guy, but I was saved. And I did things that were maybe I shouldn't have done. Hallelujah. But I still saved. I know that I'm saved. And we'll get this fixed. But you know you're saved. So you can't walk around out in this doubt land. The life of faith is a walk. You got, if your salvation is not something that you're settled in and know from the inner man, not know from a mental, well, I go to this church and we were baptized. I don't care. I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost before I was ever baptized in water. Baptism and water didn't save me a lick. It didn't get me filled with the Holy Ghost. See, people live in this la-la land of things. I'm going to tell you what, if you believe in your heart and you don't doubt and you've done what the Scripture said, you're a child of God. Say, do you feel like it? No, I don't even think about feeling like it. I know that I know. See, on the inside, I know I passed from death on life. It is about knowing. See, go over and read 1 John. First John, he writes about knowing. Knowing you pass from death unto life, you love the brother. These things we know. See, I don't walk in faith to be saved anymore. I know I am. See, it's already happened. See, I got in faith to get it to happen. And once it happened, now I know. So I'm never walking around anymore wondering. Hallelujah. See, we're taking communion this morning. These elements are reminding us of something. What do they remind? They remind us of what we are, what Christ did for us. This is why we're looking at the things today. These are the things Christ did for us. This is a reminder. See, if I can go boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy, how come people have to hide out from, you get perfect, then you can take communion? I don't quite understand that one. Well, if I have anything messed up, I don't, maybe I shouldn't take communion. No, that's the time to take communion. If you messed up, get yourself straight. Go over, remind yourself about the body and the blood of Jesus, what he did for you. Religion's nuts. They are crazy. I'll tell you, they're a bunch of fruitcakes. Religion's insane. It'll do everything it can to keep you away from God. Tell you what a dirty rat you are. Hallelujah. If I'm a dirty rat, I can't fix me, but God can. So what I want to do is run to God. If I can fix me without him, what do I need him for? I learned a long time ago, Ed can't fix Ed. He ain't bright enough. If it ain't the Holy Ghost genius working in me, it's just me. Lord knows what you'll get out of that. You got to get yourself over. Hallelujah. See, religion always moves people in the wrong direction. It's legalism. See, you got to have all the righteous qualifications. I qualified. Well, when I accepted Jesus Christ, I became as righteous as God. There's no more to attain to. There ain't no man more righteous than God, could he be? God, I mean, that's an insane thing that God gave us his righteousness. Wow. I can't think of anything get better than that. I mean, you should be able to shout and praise God for a good hour over that. God gave us. See, people don't have to thank God for it. Well, I mean, to me, those are the most marvelous things. God made me righteous. He made me as righteous as he is. And then people wonder, well, how does God really love me? My God. He made me as righteous as he is. And I hadn't done a thing. Just received his son. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. See, I hope you can see this day. As we go to this communion today, hallelujah, we do it with great joy. This is God's working. This is God's working in you today. Hallelujah. God working. We have an enemy. He's defeated. Communion reminds us, hallelujah, who our Lord is, what he has done. The enemy is defeated. Hallelujah. He'll come and he'll lie to you. He'll take scriptures and try to lie to you with him. That's what he did to Jesus. Took scriptures. He tried to twist scriptures. Hallelujah. But see, when you know the truth makes you free. He comes along. Jesus stood. See, Jesus knew the word. He was girded in truth. He was girded. And the devil got talking and he said, excuse me, Mr. Devil, I got a scripture for you. And you know what? The devil hates it when you know Scripture. Why? The Word of God is what defeated him. You want to defeat him? You better have Scripture. Yep. You defeat him. Amen. The living Word defeated him, quoting words of the Scripture. Hallelujah. And you know what? You can do the same thing. You can do the same thing. Glory to God. Father, we just say thank you this morning, Lord God. Lord, it is always, the word is a lot better than even when we preach it. It is so wonderful. It's so glorious. Lord God, I want to thank you that we don't have to try to understand these things and try to figure it out with our minds. I want to thank you. Our hearts see it and our hearts are in agreement with it. Hallelujah. Because Lord God, our inner man is hooked up with you. Hallelujah. The inside. And I just thank you, Lord God, the inner man rejoices today in the glory of God that's working mightily in us. Hallelujah. Lord God, you made us into such wonderful creations. Hallelujah. When we were born again. I just want to thank you for that. I thank you for the life that's working in us today. For the great Holy Spirit. That life that's working mightily. Hallelujah. In us. Father God, we're not trying to attain to glory. Hallelujah. We're just learning to walk in the glory that's in us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so we thank you, Lord, as we approach these communion elements. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, it's quickened to us. The great life that we receive through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Your great working in us today. Hallelujah. And the defeating of Satan. And as we take these today, it reminds us, hallelujah, our enemy is defeated. Hallelujah. And God's glory has been put in us. Hallelujah. Through faith in Christ. That we take our place today, seating in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, walking in the victory, hallelujah, that he was raised in and that his blood bought for us. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.